Hello, welcome to Sun Sounds. This is volunteer Mary Tolan, and I'm reading from the White Mountain Independent. The first headline reads, Red Flag Warning Issued for Parts of Navajo and Apache Counties This Weekend. The National Weather Service in Flagstaff has issued a red flag warning from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. for both Saturday and Sunday for parts of both Apache and Navajo counties. The warning covers the communities of Eager, Springerville, Sholo, Pinetop Lakeside, St. John's, Concho, Taylor, Snowflake, Alpine, Winslow, Holbrook, and portions of the Apache Sitgreaves National Forests. A red flag warning means that critical fire conditions, such as low humidity and strong winds, could be present and may cause a fire to rapidly grow in size and intensity before emergency responders can contain it. Weather Service is predicting wind gusts up to 40 miles per hour and humidity around 5% for the weekend. Residents should obey local fire restrictions, keep vehicles off of dry grass, dispose of cigarettes properly, and avoid using equipment that might cause sparks. Both Navajo and Apache counties are currently in Stage 1 fire restrictions. Under those fire restrictions, the following are prohibited until further notice: building, maintaining, attending, or using a fire or campfire, smoking outside of designated areas, use of any and all fireworks, use of explosive targets, use of tracer round ammunition. There are some exemptions to the restrictions. Those are fires built for cooking or warmth in a developed fire site, such as a fire circle or grill, are allowed. Propane fire rings, pellet stove, smokers, grills that have UL or FM approval and are a contained unit are allowed. A person of appropriate age must always maintain a presence when those are in operation. Smoking within an enclosed vehicle is allowed. Smoking may also be allowed in or on porches, carports, garages, parking lots, in other areas or properties which are cleared of all combustible materials, so long as the smoking does not create a substantial risk of fire. All smoking materials must be properly extinguished and disposed of in an appropriate manner. At no time is it allowed to discard lit cigarettes, cigars, or other smoking materials from a vehicle or from one's possession in a public space. An exemption does not absolve an individual or organization from liability or responsibility for any fire started by the exempted activity. The Fort Apache Indian Reservation has been in Stage 2 fire restrictions since March 12th. Under Fort Apache Stage 2 fire restrictions, the following is prohibited: building, maintaining, attending, or using a fire, campfire, stove, propane fire, including fires built with charcoal or briquettes. Smoking except within an enclosed vehicle, a developed area or developed recreation site, or while stopping in an area where a 3-foot in diameter area of vegetation has been cleared. Possessing or using a motor vehicle off of developed roads, antler shed hunting, debris burning, welding, or any other work that might use an acetylene torch, using a chainsaw that is powered by an internal combustion engine. Exceptions to the restrictions on the Fort Apache Reservation include fires related to ceremonial events within designated areas, residential cooking tailgating fires within community areas, propane grills are allowed. The next headline reads, Trump's Coal Exemption and Springerville Coronado Stations by Jen Moriera, staff writer. President Donald Trump signed an executive order Tuesday temporarily exempting coal-fired power plants across the country from stricter federal emission standards. The move could have implication for Arizona's Coronado and Springerville generating stations, two of the state's largest coal plants, both located in Apache County. Trump's order gives coal-fired plants a two-year exemption from the Environmental Protection Agency's updated mercury and air toxics standards. The Obama and Biden administration rules required steep reductions in pollutants like mercury, arsenic, and benzene, chemicals known to increase the risk of cancer and cause neurological damage. The EPA estimated the new standards would cost the power industry nearly $100 million annually starting in 2027. Under Trump's April 8th order, companies can now apply for a waiver that delays compliance with the 2024 standards until July 2029. At the signing, Trump said the policy would, quote, save the American coal industry, unquote, and, quote, keep the lights on, unquote, particularly as power demand surges with AI, electric vehicles, and data centers. Locally, the move offers short-term breathing room for Apache County's two major coal stations, but not a permanent stay of retirement. Salt River Project's Coronado Generating Station, just outside St. John's, is already scheduled for seasonal operations starting this year and full retirement no later than 2032. SRP is currently evaluating the possibility of converting the existing coal units at CGS to natural gas, a proposal presented publicly at a recent meeting. The Springerville Generating Station is a multi-owner facility with staggered retirement dates between 2027 and 2032, depending on the unit. Tucson Electric Power operates the plant and owns Unit 1 and 2, while Unit 3 is owned by Tri-State Generation and Transmission Association. SRP owns Unit 4 and, as of now, has not yet set a retirement date for that unit. SRP and TEP have both committed publicly to phasing out coal because it no longer makes economic sense. Even with lighter regulations, coal power is still more expensive to operate than natural gas, solar, wind, and emerging alternatives like small modular nuclear reactors, which are gaining traction in long-term utility planning. Some energy observers suggest the two-year extension could help bridge the gap to emerging technologies like small modular nuclear reactors. If SMR deployment is accelerated during this window, it could offer a long-term baseload alternative to coal, potentially reducing the perceived need for large-scale wind farms like Lava Run. Repsol's proposed Lava Run wind farm, a 500-megawatt project spanning state and private land in Apache County, has marketed itself as part of the solution to Arizona's coal phase-out. Supporters argue it's a clean replacement for retiring coal generation. However, critics, from local property owners to the Springerville mayor, say the project threatens the White Mountains' scenic character, wildlife habitat, and property values. But the Lava Run project isn't being proposed because coal plants are closing. It's being proposed because Arizona's energy demand is climbing and the state's utilities are shifting toward cleaner, cheaper alternatives. The next headline reads, fatal crash in Springerville under investigation, driver cited for DUI, by Jen Moriera, staff writer. A two-vehicle collision in Springerville on Monday, April 14th, afternoon turned fatal, and local law enforcement officials said the investigation remains ongoing. According to a news release from the Round Valley Police Department, the crash occurred just after 3 p.m. April 14th at the intersection of U.S. Highway 180 /191 in the Chiricahua Trail, emergency crews from the Round Valley Fire Department and White Mountain Ambulance Service is also reported to the scene. Investigators determined that a 2000 Chevrolet Silverado driven by 33-year-old Nelsina Teller of Eager was traveling north on North Chiricahua Trail when she failed to yield at the stop sign and collided with a southbound 2003 Ford Ranger on the highway. Both drivers were the sole occupants of their vehicles. Medical personnel evaluated both individuals at the scene, and both were transported to a nearby hospital. After conducting an on-scene investigation and following up at the hospital, officers cited and released Teller for driving under the influence. Shortly before midnight, the Round Valley Police Department was notified that the male driver of the Ford Ranger had died. Authorities have not confirmed whether the death was resulted from injuries sustained in the crash. The case remains under active investigation. Police are asking anyone who witnessed the crash or has information related to the incident to call the Round Valley Police Department at 928-333-4240, option 112, or the Apache County Sheriff's Office Dispatch Center at 928-337-4321, option 116. The department said, "Our deepest condolences go out to the family and friends of the deceased." The next headline reads, "Raptor Center is the Wind Beneath Many Wings," by Tony Gibbons, staff writer. Just a few years ago, John Glitzos and Belinda Strassnyder with Land on Sky Wildlife Experiences were dreaming big, really big, like wingspan of a bald eagle big. Today, they're living that dream with a raptor center that puts on a raptor flight show 5 days a week, six starting next month, May, dazzling visitors at the White Mountain Nature Center in Lakeside, and now officially recognized as one of Arizona's top 25 destinations for 2025 by Roger Naylor in the Arizona Republic. Their secret? A team of high-flying, mouse-snacking, crowd-wowing avian stars who take flight year-round in free flight demonstrations that are part educational, part thrilling, and 100% unforgettable. Lineup comprises seven feathered wonders, each with their own personality, story, and superpower. Leading the flock is Funky, aka Garfunkel, an Eurasian eagle owl who recently hit 500 followers on Facebook and celebrated with a mouse cake. He's been with John and Belinda the longest and is as cool and collected as they come. John said, "He's perfect for what we do. We flew him in hotel parking lots while we traveled. People would stop and ask if he was going to come back, and he always did." Joining Funky is his counterpart Simon, another Eurasian eagle owl, Azul, the trash-grabbing crow with a mission to teach recycling, Speedy, the red-tailed hawk, affectionately nicknamed RTH Speedwagon in reference to the band REO Speedwagon, Blossom, the clever turkey vulture, Breeze, the resilient bald eagle, and finally Astro, the aplomado falcon, helping tell the story of a nearly lost species. Azul's journey is one of rescue and reinvention. Originally from Phoenix, Azul wasn't cut out for the desert heat. "Crows don't belong in Phoenix. It's just too hot," Glitzo said. Now Azul is a showstopper, swooping through the air to catch wads of foil and dutifully recycling them in a special container. Her latest challenge? Learning to play the piano. Like any music student, progress is Well, let's say gradual. Speedy came from a rehab center in Pennsylvania that didn't have the space to keep him. He's a beautiful ambassador for red-tailed hawks, which are common in Arizona, Glitzos said. The rehab facility didn't have enough room for him, so when he arrived, we found that he couldn't fly because of the lack of space to flex those incredible wings. The name RTH Speedwagon practically wrote itself. Now he flies like a rocket. Astro's story is bittersweet. He's the second Aplomado Falcon the couple has owned after the theft of their first Astra in 2022. The species was nearly wiped out in Arizona after ranchers and farmers destroyed yucca plants, the critical nesting sites of the falcon, in the late 1800s. Thanks to conservation efforts like those of the Peregrine Fund, aplomados are slowly making a comeback across Texas, New Mexico, and Arizona. Astro is helping spread awareness with every swoop. Then there's the dynamic duo of Breeze and Blossom, who came to Lakeside from Hawk Creek Rehab in Buffalo, New York. Breeze, a bald eagle, was hit by a car. Though her bones healed, they didn't align correctly, limiting her ability to fly. She needed a handler trained in modern animal choice, positive reinforcement techniques, and John and Belinda fit the bill. Just as Breeze was preparing for her cross-country move, the rehab called again. They asked if we'd take a turkey vulture, too, Glitzo said. Enter Blossom, who quite literally turned herself into rehab. She's the smartest vulture on earth, he said. She smelled the food at the rehab center, walked in the front door, and decided that was her new home. Back at WMNC, every day begins with weighing the birds to determine their individualized meals. No one-size-fits-all feeding here. In the wild, they don't eat the same amount every day, Glitzos explained. Their diet includes a mix of mice, rats, fish, fruits, and veggies, all designed to mimic what they'd find in nature. It's a labor of love that costs about $2,000 a month, dollars, mostly paid out of pocket by John and Belinda. Local fishermen help by donating trout for Breeze. Each bird lives in its own spacious indoor-outdoor enclosure designed for flight, comfort, and enrichment. Blossom's enclosure features tiered tree logs for hopping, since the inflammation in her wings makes flying difficult. What makes these shows more than just a spectacle is the bond between humans and birds. Using positive reinforcement training, John and Belinda can walk into any cage without fear. The birds tell us what works and what doesn't, Glitzo said. That trust translates into jaw-dropping shows where raptors soar so close they've been known to restyle a few visitor hairdos on the flight. It's a wow moment, he said. At the heart of it all is the reason Strauss-Snyder started Land on Sky, to honor her late son, Landon. He saw how passionate and skilled she was with birds and encouraged her to share that gift with others. Now, every time she sees a child's eyes light up during a show, she's reminded of the spark Landon saw in her. It's about touching lives, she said, especially young ones. To keep these shows flying high, Land on Sky needs volunteers every day the show runs. Ideally, they need four, but lately they've been operating with just one or two. Volunteers must be 18 years old or older, physically healthy, and ready to get their hands a little dirty, from carrying buckets of gravel to helping pick up paper. No experience necessary. Full training is provided. If you've got heart, we'll teach you the rest, Glitzo says. The Raptor Flight Show happens every Tuesday through Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. During April, tickets are $350 per person and must be purchased online to guarantee a seat. For May through September, tickets go for $5 each, and the show will be performed every Tuesday through Sunday from 3 to 4. For more information, to volunteer, or to purchase tickets, visit wmnature.org or email raptor@wmnature.org or call 480-688-5101. That's 480-688-5101. You're listening to Sun Sounds of Northern Arizona. The next headline reads, TJ Maxx opening in Sholo on April 27th by Tony Gibbons, staff writer. TJ Maxx is set to open its newest store in Sholo on April 27th. The store at 750 West Deuce of Clubs next to Cal Ranch will open from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. on opening day. Nancy Carpenter, president of TJ Maxx, said, "We're thrilled to join the Sholo community. We look forward to providing local shoppers with an ever-changing selection of high-quality merchandise at exceptional value so they can express their true Maxx selves." The new Sholo location will occupy approximately 23,900 square feet and will be open daily from 9:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. TJ Maxx works with thousands of top brands and designers to source high-quality merchandise and provides deals year-round, not just seasonally. As part of its grand opening celebration, TJ Maxx will donate $10,000 to Meals on Wheels Arizona White Mountains. The new store will also participate in TJ Maxx's nationwide effort to sponsor Save the Children's U.S. programs through the retailer's annual in-store fundraising campaign. For more information, go to tjmaxx.tjx.com. That's tjmaxx.tjx.com. Or follow the company on Instagram, Threads, TikTok, or Facebook. The next headline reads, "Join White Mountain Performing Arts in a Journey Down the Rabbit Hole" by Sarah Struthers. White Mountain Performing Arts is presenting Disney's Alice in Wonderland Jr. beginning on April 24th at Blue Ridge High School's Thomas Keene Memorial Auditorium, 1200 West White Mountain Boulevard in Lakeside. Performances are at 7 p.m. on April 24th to 26th, with a 2 p.m. matinee on April 26th. The 75-minute musical, designed for young performers, is based on the 1951 Disney film and the novels of Lewis Carroll. The White Mountains Performing Arts Alice in Wonderland Jr. cast includes 58 children, ages 6 to 14, from Pinetop Lakeside, Sholo, Linden, Taylor, Snowflake, and Clay Springs. They are led by director Sandy Ballard and technical director Becky Evans. More than 30 students in Evans's class at Blue Ridge High School, including career and technical education in stagecraft students who earn work-based learning hours, join the 58 performers as they move set pieces, manage props, and work the sound and lighting systems. An army of parent and community volunteers joined Evans's students as they all worked together to prepare sets, props, and costumes. Everyone is creating a community of friends, a connection of creativity, a collection of shared experiences that transcends the invisible borders of our towns and school districts. Quote, "I have met wonderfully fantastic people I wouldn't have met and learned amazing lessons that I wouldn't have learned without this experience that White Mountain Performing Arts made possible," said Carolyn Brandon, one of the two young actresses who plays Alice. "I've made new friends that I will treasure for years to come," said Truly Johnston, who is also playing Alice. White Mountain Performing Arts, a nonprofit organization recognized for previous performance of Annie Jr., Shrek the Musical Jr., The Lion King Jr., and Aladdin Jr., has the mission of giving as many children as possible the opportunity to build their confidence and grow their talents on the stage. These kinds of opportunities for children can improve their mental health, academic performance, and social and emotional health. I love youth community theater because it helps kids improve their acting skills and boosts their confidence, said Ballard. By working together and being creative, they not only get better at performing, but also become stronger in their thinking and problem solving, which prepares them for future challenges. Fall down the rabbit hole with Alice as she navigates the curious world of Wonderland on her journey of self-discovery. Along with her adventure, Alice encounters the ever-tardy white rabbit, the grinning Cheshire Cat, a cool caterpillar, the wacky Mad Hatter, a temperamental queen, and many more beloved Wonderland characters in this charming updated retelling of the classic Lewis Carroll stories. Adapted especially for young performers, the musical includes favorite songs from the Disney canon such as I'm Late, The Unbirthday Song, and Painting the Roses Red, in addition to music from the 2010 Tim Burton live-action film. For information on purchasing tickets, go to the website wmperformingarts.com. That's wmperformingarts.com. Tickets are $8 for adults and $5 for students. The next headline reads, Walmart and Lowe's gas leak linked to possible dust devil. A gas leak on April 10th forced a temporary evacuation and closure of both Walmart and Lowe's Home Improvement Store on White Mountain Road around 2:30 p.m. Both stores reopened before 5 p.m. According to Joseph Barrios, a spokesman for Unisource Energy Services, the leak was caused by damage to two gas-powered rooftop heating units on both buildings. The original cause of the damage was thought to be a microburst, but a day later, the National Weather Service pointed out in a Facebook post that the conditions were right on Thursday for a possible dust devil.